Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, it's Monday night, so good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Raising Expectations. That's your show about what God's doing in your lives and all around the world. We're people of faith. You know the program. You know the team. We'll say it in just a few minutes for you, but very simply, we want to remind you that most important thing we want you to know that will change the expectations of your life is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. We love what God did for us when, in the midst of all that was going on in the world and in the midst of all that's going on today, he knows that he needed to bring us back to him because he loves us so much. You realize tonight that you are loved by God. And he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross that he might be raised again by his Father in heaven on the third day that you and I could have our sins forgiven. And more than that, that we would go back to the one who loves us someday. And while he works in our life every day here, there's a time coming when we'll be with him forever and with those we love. It's great to be a born-again, blood-bought believer. And so we're here as Christians, and we're grateful for who God is. We're grateful for our country. We're grateful for our nation, and we're really getting excited about the 250th anniversary of our nation. And so we're going to have a great time tonight with our guest speaker, who you've been talking to me about this week. We've had her up. So many, hundreds of you have written in and have texted back, looking forward to the show. So I want to tell you real quick, you know who we are with the Raising Expectations team. My name's Pastor Joe, and this is my wife right here, Melba. And we kind of bring this together to you each week. But we also have a whole team. We have two of them missing tonight. That'll be Pastor Ron Greer. He and his wife are coming back from a vacation, well-deserved vacation. He worked so hard as a counselor and a helper with the Man in the Mirror out of Florida. And we also have Dr. Craig Thayer and his wife, Steph. That's Tank and Steph. They're going on a vacation, so we're going to miss them tonight. So you've got on the West Coast there in Southern California, you've got Dr. Paul Hall, and he's with us, and he's right there in Lompoc. And Paul has, he's a retired pastor, as you know. He's a teacher and educator, and everybody knows and loves Paul. We've been friends for a long time, school way back in Texas. So also, then that's about it, because the others are on vacation. Paul and I said, oh, we're sorry to hear that. What a great vacation they're on. And they deserve it, but we had to give them a little bit of trouble. So it's great. They'll be back next week. Don't worry. So tonight, we want to talk again about a little bit of what's going on in our nation. We're so excited. Maybe you watched the happenings yesterday from the mall in Washington, D.C. What an incredible day that was to see men and women, boys and girls all coming together and praising the Lord, and men and women of God sharing their testimonies and speaking about our nation under God. We were excited because the whole time I watched it, we knew that we had for you one of the greatest people who could ever talk about the things that we saw yesterday. And that is, as you know, Denise Gary Pandall. She's coming with us again tonight, again by popular request. We love it when she's with us. We just claim her as family. And she's coming to you from Southern California. There's so many things happening with the election here, within the nation, what's happening in the Middle East right now. Nobody better equipped to share with you what's going on than our guest tonight. So we want to give Denise the round of applause.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll double team it. Welcome, Denise.
Okay. Thank you very much. So ladies and gentlemen, I live in the Central Valley. I'm here in oil and ag country and in the county of Kern. And I was speaking yesterday at another event, at an event called One Nation Under God. And in speaking to the community here in my area, I wanted to talk about, in fact, I was asked to talk about and discuss the Star-Spangled Banner. Each person was given something to talk about in terms of, discussing the strategic significance of it. And so I thought when I read over the Star-Spangled Banner that it was extremely important to point out to everyone on this show today the background behind it, the background of the author, what was going on when it was happening, and the tremendous dedication that Francis Scott Key, who wrote that document, really, he was a lyricist. A lot of people don't know that Francis Scott Key was a deeply religious man. He was a gentleman that was born into a family that fought in the Revolutionary War for America. He went and got his education at an Ivy League school and graduated there and was involved in a thriving law practice in Washington, D.C., in matter of fact, in Georgetown. He had 11 children. Wow. And he and his wife led devotionals on a daily basis for the family. And I think that's so important. And I want to encourage all the mothers and fathers that are listening to the podcast to engage in a daily devotional with their children every day. And this is what Francis Scott Key did. He was known to his family and I imagine intimate friends as Frank. I wanted to also point out that he was the, I want to get his title correct, he was the manager of the American Sunday School Union here in the United States.
Wow.
Amen. And as the manager of the American Sunday School Union, he established Sunday schools for children and adults across America as we were growing and increasing as a nation. And I thought that that was fabulous. And I thought it went to the fact that, you know, he was a devoted husband and father that led his family in devotions. Anyway, he wrote the lyrics. A lot of people refer to him as a poet. It wasn't that he was a poet. I feel like that's, history isn't exactly getting that correct. He was a lyricist.
Man.
And he wrote the words to over 12 hymns that are sung. So he was heavily involved in the Episcopalian Church. And I believe, did I mention that he had thought about entering the ministry? I read some historical accounts that said that after he graduated from law school, he thought about entering. But then again, after the War of 1812, which lasted 3 years, he thought about joining the ministry at that time. So I'm not quite sure which historical account is correct, but I wanted to mention that. And I thought about the fact that because he was such a devout Christian and he wrote the words, I thought it was important to point out that in the fourth verse, so a lot of you listening out there today might not know that the Star-Spangled Banner has four verses. I didn't know that. We always sing the first verse. Oh, say, can you see?
Amen.
From the dawn's early light, because truly it was dawn by the time the bomb stopped from the British ships. And I'll talk about that more in just a minute. I mean, the British, I mean, this is the most powerful empire in the world. It was the largest empire in the world, and it was the most powerful. And they sent over numerous warships during the War of 1812 to destroy America. And in fact, they had burned down the White House. So we'll get more into the story in just a minute. But that first verse in the Star Spangled Banner, that fourth verse, part of it says, praise the power, referring to God Almighty, praise the power that have made and preserved us as a nation. Now, so to give that context, I guess I need to give a little bit more of the story first. So the reason why, and ladies and gentlemen, forgive me, I'm getting over bronchitis, so I don't quite sound right today, and you're going to hear me throughout the show. But anyway, so what had happened was James Madison, our fourth president, had commissioned Francis Scott Key, an attorney and statesman type person, to board a British warship and speak to the admiral on board about freeing Americans that had been abducted by the British and tortured and forced into the British Navy. So these were what we would call American prisoners of war. And our government, under our president, James Madison, who, by the way, was referred to as the father of our Constitution. George Washington is often referred to as the father of our nation. James Madison, the father of our country, or our Constitution, excuse me. So the father of our Constitution asked this person that wrote the lyrics for many, many hymns to go out there on a warship and negotiate the release of Americans. Americans who weren't even involved in fighting the war. And that's what's interesting. You know, the British were kidnapping. That's what they were doing. They were kidnapping Americans that were on board merchant ships. Merchant ships. In other words, trading vessels.
Yeah.
And you know, taking them and placing them in their military on their warship. So there was quite an injustice there. So as these bombs kept falling on Fort McHenry, so what had happened was a couple days beforehand, I believe it was about 2 or 3 days beforehand, the White House was burned down. And as British soldiers were moving on Baltimore, the British military came to the conclusion that they wouldn't be able to take Baltimore by land, that the best way to take it was, you know, through their warships. And the British government sent 5 bombing vessels in addition to other warships, but 5 bombing vessels. Now, these are 200 to 300 pound bombs, you know, great big round bombs. And the Fort McHenry, which, by the way, had families. I mean, there were women and children, elderly. It wasn't just soldiers in Fort McHenry. People were there for safety and security. And the British knew that. And they were bombing Fort McHenry. They bombed Fort McHenry and the area around Baltimore for 25 hours. And you have to ask yourself as an American, and particularly I ask myself as a person of faith, how did they not destroy Fort McHenry with 200 to 300 pound bombs after a 24-hour bombing campaign with their 8 warships off the coast? Mm-hmm. You know, it's incredible to me, but there was testimony I found in doing the research that indicated that because there were heavy rains all during this bombing episode by the British, that the heavy rains sometimes literally extinguished the fuses, right? Yeah. The fuses on these 200-pound bombs.
Oh,
so in some cases, like, for example, it reportedly, one of these 200-pound bombs was later found inside the facility that held the weapons, you know, an arsenal that held weapons. But the reason why it didn't explode and destroy Fort Henry was they found that by the time the bomb landed in the mud, the fuse had gone out. So many, many people's lives were saved. So again, is this the hand of God? We won the Revolutionary War. It took us 9 years, but we won the Revolutionary War. We were a rag team. And George Washington is always on bended knee praying for their safety and security, and his wife's out there in the Revolutionary War. Sometimes he'd meet them out there in the battle and sew up their socks and try to help, mend their wounds and take care of the soldiers that were suffering horrifically. Jewish people like Salomon was helping fund it because they didn't have enough money. So Jewish Americans that were here that had the ability financially to help fund it were doing that, so we would have the money to buy, the guns and the bullets and everything that we needed. So I mean, you know, it we but we finally won, and now that British are attacking the Americans again because we went after them for our merchant marines, our people that were our, or maybe I shouldn't say merchant marines. I should just say, Americans on board merchant ships or trading vessels. So Francis Scott Key was there with another individual that was supposed to help negotiate these prisoners of war and get them back to on American shore off the warship, British warship. And so this bombing campaign, which is why the British didn't allow them to exit the to go back to American shore, because the bombing campaign had started. So anyway, there they were, and they knew that if the American flag, came down and they surrendered, and they, Fort McHenry put up a white flag of surrender, that was over, and there would be no point. It all would be lost. And so the White House had been burned, and there had been numerous victories for the British. But what happened was, after this 25-hour bombing campaign, when 5 o'clock or so, when the dawn started to break, that's why it starts out with, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?" I mean, Francis Scott Key with his spyglass is looking there at Fort McHenry, and the flag was still flying, and it was incredible. And so that is when he took paper to pen, and I don't know how he found paper. I don't know quite how that happened. I'll have to do some more research on it, but bottom line is he wrote down the lyrics. I still haven't read verse 4, but I want to get back to it. So what's incredible to me is this deep man of faith who was probably praying along with, okay, so one of the men in particular he wanted to rescue was this Dr. William Beans. Dr. William Beans was also a person of faith. I imagine they're praying over that 25-hour period that America be saved and Fort McHenry would not fall. And Dr. William Bean was like 80 years old, around that age bracket. And he was this well-known doctor in the Baltimore area that had put together the bodies, put back the bodies of not just American soldiers, but also British. And the reason why the British Admiralty was willing to release him in particular was because British soldiers had written letters of gratitude that this Dr. William Bean had also helped them during the War of 1812, as well as Americans. So what a blessed thing is that? I mean, the man is an American person of faith, and he's trying to help everyone that comes in that's been battered and bruised and broken from the war. So anyway, so in the fourth verse, getting to the point, Francis Scott Key, Frank, wrote, "Praise the power," meaning God, "that hath made and preserved us as a nation." He's immediately praising God for
Amen.
preserving our nation. The next line says, "Then conquer we must when our cause is just." And of course, our cause was just. And this be our motto. This be our motto. In God is our trust. Who
Amen.
codified that? What was that? 19, was it 1956? I believe it was 1956. Congress, and Eisenhower would have been president, signed into law, In God We Trust. That became the official motto of the
Yes.
United States of America. In God We Trust. And of course, it's been all over our money. Anyway, and this be our motto, In God Is Our Trust. This was written on September, I believe, September 12th, 1814. And then he goes on to say, and the Star Spangled Banner, referring to, of course, to our flag, I think it had what, 13 stars, right? 13 stripes. And the Star Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave, because God gave us victory
Amen.
over the land of the free and the home of the brave. And you know how brave those men must have been in Fort McHenry to be bombed for 25 hours straight and
Amen.
not surrender the fort. I mean, what courage, what
Yeah.
faith, what greatness as a people are we? So I just, that's what I shared at the event. And then I read a little book recently, and I picked it up from Wall Builders. It's called America's Godly Heritage. And what David Barton did, again, from Wall Builders, is he put together quotes. He quoted various writings and speeches and things found in, our founding fathers. We didn't have telephones, so they wrote letters and things to one another. And so Franklin, I wanted to, share these things that our founding fathers said, because when you consider what Francis Scott Key wrote, talking about In God We Trust, he's just carrying on the legacy of James Madison, who was, the father of our Constitution, and these other great founding fathers. So, for example, Franklin Roosevelt, in writing about how America could only prosper under God's blessing, stated this, and I'm quoting, "Without God's concurring aid, we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages, will become a reproach to the nations, because we won't have had God's aid." And here you can see God's aid in the War of 1812. And it's interesting because one of my other books I have called Teaching and Learning American Constitutional History. And in it is a quote by a woman by the name of Emma. And Emma was, what was her last name? Well, anyway, I'm so sorry, I can't remember. She started the first women's college in America after the Civil War. And I want to say Emma Wilbur, but I'm not sure that's correct. Probably isn't correct. I apologize. But she wrote later, in establishing this women college, because she wanted women to be able to get a college education. And and she had studied mathematics and science and other things, and she knew, women were just as intelligent as men, that we are equal. Of course, God created us equal. It says all men are made in the image of God, referring to mankind. And so anyway, she started this college in the northern states. But I thought that was interesting because she said the same thing that Benjamin Franklin did, that how important it was for us to give praise to God and to follow God's teaching, biblical values, so important to teach our biblical values to our children. And I hope we have time a little later. I want to talk about what the founder said about the importance of putting the Ten Commandments in our schools,
Yes,
because it teaches them about being a civilized people. And that's so important. I think all of your listeners should be contacting their school board members to say, the Ten Commandments needs to be put back in the schools of America. I keep hearing about, young people that are so violent
yeah.
and so destructive and so racist. I see a lot of black children now coming against white children. And, I just heard on the news how the Democrats are telling people how they can't vote for a white straight man for in order to be the Los Angeles city mayor. The Steven Pratt that's running. If I was in the city of Los Angeles, I'm not. I'm in here in Kern County in the Central Valley. But if I was living in Los Angeles, I'd be voting for Steven Pratt. He seems to have good common sense. He's running as an independent. But the Democrats are saying, well, you can't vote for a straight white man. Well, why can't you? Isn't that reverse discrimination? Isn't that reverse racism? There's just, and the racism against the Jewish people, these people that the founding fathers greatly appreciated and admired for handing down the Ten Commandments. They were teaching Hebrew, they were teaching the Bible in the Ivy League universities of America, like Harvard and Yale and Princeton. People were supposed to know the Word of God. People were supposed to know Hebrew, and they were supposed to hand that down from generation to generation. And imagine if we had, that there wouldn't be the racism in America today that there is, that the Muslim lobby in America would not have the foothold in our elementary and junior high and high school and colleges, and we would not see university students beat up Jewish students on university campuses. And if we have time, I'll share in the later in the broadcast what our founding fathers said about the Jewish people, what they wrote to, well, let me just do something right now. I was, impressed by what John Adams said in 1819 in writing to one of the American Jewish leaders, Mordecai Noah. Adams wrote, "I wish for the Jews that again in Judea they could have an independent nation." He knew that the Jews had been deprived
That's
of
right.
their nation by the Romans. He knew, I'm sure, the promises of God that are talked about in Genesis, and the land given to the Jewish people includes what is today parts of Lebanon and Egypt and Syria and all of Jordan and Iraq. I mean, if you read the Bible at all, if you look at read through Genesis, it speaks to the land that God promised to the Hebrew nation. So to try to confine the Jewish people to this tiny strip of land isn't even biblical.
That's right. That's
So of
right.
course you should vote Republican, because, I mean, unfortunately the Republicans might not be reading the Bible, but at least they're not trying to deny the Jewish people Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, right? I mean,
Yes, over there.
all of that has been promised to the Hebrew people. But anyway, and John Adams goes on to talk about how the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, have been a civilizing force for all of civilization because they gave us God's word. They were chosen to deliver God's word to the people. And in the Torah, which are the first five books of Moses, but also Jesus and the apostles talk about it in the New Testament, what are the two most important primary commandments? The first is to love the Lord thy God with all thy might and strength, with all thy soul, and to love your neighbor. And of course, Islam doesn't teach anybody about loving their neighbor. Taught to behead and burn alive and murder non-Muslims. That's in the Quran. Now, a Muslim might, your Muslim neighbor that lives across the street might say, well, yes, that's in the Quran, but you know, I don't believe in that. The problem is that Muslims, you know, become radicalized. You never know when the Muslim across the street will become radicalized. You know, there's so much teaching that goes on. Well, for example, I was looking at the Middle East Media Research Institute. Now, this is out of Washington, and they monitor the Arabic and Farsi and, you know, things coming out of the Middle East and in America that are in Arabic and Farsi. Farsi is the language spoken in Iran. And anyway, on, for example, the leaders of an academy in Philadelphia posted on their YouTube channel a video of students from the Palestinian Heritage called One Yuma Day. They were at the academy's One Yuma Day. Yuma, U-M-A-H, means Muslim. One Umma Day, meaning one day for the Muslims event. And schoolgirls were singing and acting out a song praising brave Palestinian girls who are sisters and daughters of real men. Now, what makes you a sister and daughter of a real man? Well, you're selling your jewelry, and your mother is selling jewelry to purchase firearms. The little girls are sending their brothers off to battle, telling them to saddle up their horses and tie a dagger or a sword to their belt in order to chop the heads off Jewish children. So this type of thing, and you can see the song. This is special dispatch number 10613, so you can listen to the songs that they're singing for yourself on memory, the Middle East Media Research Institute. So I, you know, I'm impressed by the fact that, again, getting back to Francis Scott Key and the founding fathers, that Franklin Roosevelt, who many people say was not a believer, well, my goodness, if he wasn't a believer, why is it that he's writing that without God's concurring aid, we will be reproached and a byword to future generations? I want to read you what Thomas Jefferson wrote. Thomas Jefferson stated, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Remember, Thomas Jefferson was concerned as someone who had owned slaves, because he wrote in the Declaration of Independence that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Inalienable rights means rights that cannot be separated from man. Mm-hmm. Inalienable rights, rights that are inherent, rights that you're born with, natural rights. And he wrote that our Creator has endowed us with certain inalienable rights, that among these are the right to life, the right to liberty or freedom, and the right to pursue happiness, which is your right to pursue virtue. So, you know, there was always that struggle. I want to share with you that George Washington wrote, it is the duty of all nations, speaking specifically to America, to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore God's protection and favor. Samuel Adams, who was a revolutionary leader and fighter, wrote, may every citizen in America have a proper sense of the deity, meaning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, upon his mind, and an impression of the declaration recorded in the Bible. Quote, him that honoreth me In other words, we're supposed to honor God. I will honor. But he that despiseth me shall be lightly esteemed. So Samuel Adams quoted 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Perhaps he was named after Samuel in the Bible by his mother. I don't know. I haven't done that level of research on Samuel Adams at this point in my life, but I think that's interesting that he quoted that and talked to about the importance of honoring God, and that God wouldn't honor us if we didn't honor him. So in talking about the Star Spangled Banner, isn't it so very relevant and important to consider that Francis Scott Key, whose father fought in the Revolutionary War, would include this important concept, which would be the prelude to the official motto of the United States, to trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
What significance? How many people know that? I wasn't sure that the audience here in the Central Valley would be aware of that, and so I wanted to share that.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing me to share that tonight. So I wanted to, if I may, talk about a couple more things. So I'm really wanting your audience to make some calls. To make some calls to their people in Washington, D.C., as well as their leaders, as well as the governor here in California. Now, for those of you that don't know, if you would call your United States Senator, here is the number, 202-224-3121. 202, that's the area code for Washington, D.C., 224-3121. Now, you can get a hold of your member in Congress in the House of Representatives, as well as getting a hold of your member in the United States Senate. Now, here in California, sadly, we have two Democrats representing us. They do not promote our godly values. It's Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff. These are ungodly people.
Yes.
But you need to contact them about what we're going to talk about next. We've got a little bit of time. And then depending on who your member of Congress, I don't know if that person would be a Democrat or Republican. We here in our area voted for a Republican. Thankfully, our Republican congressman in this area is Vince Fong. And I will be. I was invited to be the legislative chair of the Bakersfield Republican Women Federated here in our area. So every month I provide legislative analysis with an update on what's happening on specific legislation. There is no legislation that I am aware of with respect to getting the Ten Commandments in all of our schools across America. But I would like your listeners, Joe, if they would, I'm going to provide numerous things I'd like them to call on. So I hopefully they write this down and they have a list of things to discuss. One of the first things I want to talk about, again, I'm sorry to be redundant, getting back to putting the Ten Commandments in our schools. So what did our founding fathers say about that? Our founding fathers said, for example, John Adams. Who was John Adams? He was our second president, right? Thomas Jefferson, our third. James Madison, our fourth. John Adams asserted, "If thou shalt not covet and thou shalt not steal." Now, how many young people are stealing today? You know, we see it on the news all the time. It's pathetic. John Adams asserted that the Ten Commandments were the basis of civilized behavior. And I'm quoting him now, and he says, "Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. These must be made inviolable precepts in every society." These should be precepts in every society before It can be a civilized or made free society. So, what is our second president telling us in the 21st century? He's telling us that in order to remain a free society and a civilized society, the Ten Commandments should be posted for school children because that teaches them what? It teaches them what is right and what is wrong.
That's right. That's right. Without that, they're in
And
trouble.
right. And John Adams, of course, was heavily involved in writing the First Amendment. And his signature was only one of two, was one of two that appears at the bottom of that document. And he and John Wilson was also a founding father who he signed the Declaration of Independence. You can look it up. James Wilson signed the Declaration of Independence. He also signed the United States Constitution. And he also affirmed the importance of the divine laws in the Bible, such as the Ten Commandments. And he wrote, human law must rest its authority. Human law, in other words, America's laws, federal law, state law, local law, human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. Biblical values, biblical principles, biblical laws. Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters. Religion and law are twin sisters. When was the last time you heard a teacher say that in the classroom?
Not tight.
Religion and law are twin sisters, friends, and mutual assistants. This should be taught in our schools. Do we ever teach our biblical history in our schools in America? Is it being
Doesn't fit.
discussed in any university or college?
Yeah. That doesn't fit with
I would be
moral
run
compass.
out of a
Yeah.
college classroom. You know, I'm really disappointed in myself because, and I should try to get back into the college and university classroom. I've just been so busy, but I should, and I'll be fired again. I wasn't, quote, fired, but I was let go because I was told I was too controversial in the classroom. And I was too controversial because I talked about international law, but I talked about international law as pertaining to, for example, the Geneva Conventions. And when I talked about how Islamic terrorists were capturing Americans and torturing Americans to death, you know, I was told by Muslim students in my classroom, well, you know, they're freedom fighters, they're fighting for their freedom. I said, You don't kidnap Americans and torture them to death or cut their head off
No.
because you're a freedom fighter. I mean, if you're going to engage in war, okay, you engage in war, and that means you combat soldiers who are armed and equipped and trained for war. If you're not in the process of fighting soldiers that are trained and equipped for war, you're involved in terrorism, which is the random and indiscriminate killing of innocent civilians for a political or religious objective, or maybe both.
If you have a
So
moral
that got
compass,
me in trouble.
yeah, I can see that. If you have a moral compass, it does a bad job with situational ethics that you could just turn inside out. Keep teaching, keep talking.
So anyway, I just wanted to say that even our founding fathers understood the importance and the relevance of the Ten Commandments in schools. And you know, we could talk more about that, but I wanted to talk about a couple more things. So one thing that every American listening tonight should be calling that number 202-224-3121. You should also call the president's comment line. The president's comment line is 202-456-3121. 1111. You could also share what we're discussing with, the president on his comment line. Leave a message if nobody answers the phone. They do write down and let the president know things that are that American people are caring about. And the thousands more that call, the more the president realizes, okay, this is an issue. The American people care about this issue. I need to move on it, right? Anyway, one of the things I'd like all of your listeners to call, I mean, think about what this would do if every listener called. We might actually get H.R. 22 passed in the Senate. So, what is H.R. 22? It's the voter integrity, or the, it's called, it's actually called the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, but you don't need to remember that. Nobody needs to remember that. Just H.R. 22, Save America. Just remember that. Save America. Save America Act. H.R. 2022. What does that do? That says that nobody can vote in an election for anybody sitting, for anybody running for federal office if you don't have proof of citizenship and a
Yes.
photo ID.
You
Let's end voter fraud in America.
men.
Let's end voter fraud. Let's have photo IDs. Who doesn't have a driver's license? And if you don't, they're not hard to come by. If you're a
No.
student,
Yeah.
you have a photo ID. If you drive a car, or even people that are retired, that can't drive their car anymore because of the eyesight issues or whatever. They still probably have an old driver's license.
My voter
Yeah.
ID. Yeah.
Nine
You,
out of
anybody,
10 want
everybody
that.
can get a
Yeah.
photo ID, even if you stop driving and you're 90. So get out your voter ID, get out proof of citizenship. Let's call our Democrat. In California, we have Democrats. Call those Democrats. And you need to remind those Democrats in Washington, Alex Padilla. What's his name? Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
I keep saying John Adams, and I thought Adam Schiff. Yeah, okay.
Should
Adam
be.
Schiff, the two Democrats that represent the state of California, and who, and whatever state you're in, put pressure. You need to put pressure on your senators. Remember, H.R. 22, the Save America Act, passed out of the House months ago. I think it was back in, was April. April, the Republicans passed the Save America Act out of Congress, but it's been sitting in the Senate all this time.
Right.
And our senators need to vote for it. Get it voted for so President Trump can sign it.
Denise, isn't it true that it's John Thune, a Republican, who's the
Well, he put it to a vote,
did he put it
Paul.
to
Oh,
the
yes, he
vote?
did.
But yeah, but
Yeah, Paul, he put it to a vote.
he keeps
And
saying that we don't have enough votes to swing it.
that's
Okay.
right, because when he put it to a vote, not every Republican voted for it. Can you believe that?
No, but
We've got rhinos, Republican in name only, that didn't vote for it. Why? Well, it might be difficult for people to provide proof of citizenship. Too bad. Go get it. Go to the hall of, call the Hall of Records and in the place where you were born and have your birth certificate sent to you.
I took a friend to a hospital this morning, for a procedure he's going to have at 6 o'clock in the morning. And in order for me to get past the front desk, they took my picture, they made an identification tag that I had to wear around the hospital with my picture on it to prove who I was. And I'm thinking, that's to move around in a hospital of all places,
And surely we can have that much to vote in a federal election or in an election where federal candidates are running for office.
That's right. That's right.
So, every one of your listeners, I don't care how old or young you are, you should be on the phone tomorrow morning, first thing, 202-224-3121. and call your senators. John Thune, who is a Republican, he is the Senate Majority Leader, is a great leader, and he's put this to vote. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he's put it to a vote twice. The problem is, we need Democrats and we need all the Republicans to vote yes. All the Republicans need to vote yes. And if we could get a few Democrats, now, how are you going to get Adam Schiff and Alex Padilla here in California to say yes? What you're going to say to them, what you're going to say to them is this. You're going to say, there are lots of Democrats in California that want the Save America Act passed. There are Democrats also that are concerned about voter fraud. Republicans are not the only group in this state that are concerned about voter fraud. So get it passed.
Yeah.
Vote yes.
Nine
Okay.
out of 10 people want
Moving
it.
on.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, let's see. So unlock, so this is another very important bill. So the United States Senator Dave McCormick, he has put before the Senate floor a bill called Unlock American Energy Jobs Act of 2026. Unlock American Energy Jobs Act of 2026. And as of the other day, it hasn't been assigned a number yet. But this is about energy dominance. This is about making sure that the United States of America has leverage the world over. Because if we're producing more than enough oil and gas for the American people, we can export it to other nations. When you're exporting oil and gas, liquefied natural gas, LNG, to other nations around the globe that need oil and natural gas, that does what? It gives you leverage in getting those nation states to say yes to America's policies and American interests, so that when the president calls their leader on the phone and says, I need you to open up that American air base while we're fighting against and trying to destroy the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, Iran, we have that leverage, because otherwise the president can say, you know what? You won't get that oil and LNG shipment that your people need. So world dominance in oil and gas and LNG is very important. That way, we don't depend on anybody else's oil and gas, like states that sponsor terrorism from the Middle East, states that kill Christians, states that sponsor the kidnapping and death of Christians. So we should be exporting oil and gas to the Middle East, to all of Africa, to China, to all of Europe, to give us that leverage. So, Unlock American Energy Jobs Act will give the permitting reform that the oil and gas companies need to speed up oil and drilling. We need it sped up. It will deregulate LNG, liquefied gas export. Remember, under Joseph Biden, that idiot, former president of the United States, stopped LNG exports to the world. Why would he do that? That hurt American businesses here at home, and it hurt those nation states that depended on the LNG imports from the United States.
Right.
I mean, oh, I'm so sorry where he even gets a salary. As a former president, I'm so sorry he gets any Secret Service protection. I mean, the man deeply hurt the United States of America. Also, the Unlock American Energy and Jobs Act of 2026 also provides nuclear licensing modernization and NEPA reform. Now, what is NEPA? NEPA is the National Environmental Policy Act. They need to get rid of it. Just get rid of it. NEPA. But anyway, this doesn't get rid of it, it does reform it. So it helps America become more dominant so we can export everything that the world needs. Can you imagine the world depends on the United States? The influence and the power that gives us to put America first and secure all of our national security interests. It's a big deal. So
Right.
I hope everybody calls about that. Do we have another minute?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, I want to say to everybody, if you would like for me to come speak at your club or church, I would be happy to give my testimony. I'd be happy to speak. You can reach me at area code 661 747 1829. 661 747 1829. I do charge a small honorarium. I do like to have my gas reimbursed and my time. But anyway, it's not a tough climb. Okay, I want to talk about for those of you that care about the fact that we have radical Democrats in the state of California that want to pass a bill which will make it a statewide holiday, two Muslim holidays, a statewide holiday. So the two Muslim holidays that these radical Democrats want to pass into law have to do with animal sacrifice. They slit the throat of animals as sort of a sacrifice to their Allah. And by the way, that's not the God we serve. Muslims will say, well, that's just our name for God. No, we don't serve Allah. We don't serve a God that calls for the beheading or burning alive or crucifixion of Christians. That's not our God. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who chose the Jewish people to be his chosen people. And we, as people of faith, Christians, understand that we're just grafted in. We're not the root, we're the grafted in root. We got adopted thanks to the Jewish people and God and Jesus. Anyway, AB 2017. Please call our governor. His name is Gavin Newsom. He wants to run for president. And I'd like for you to let him know that he doesn't stand a chance running for president, especially if he doesn't put the kibosh on AB 2017. So AB 2017 is called State Holidays Eid, EID. EID is an Arabic term for the festival of breaking the fast and the festival of sacrifice. Now, the festival of breaking the fast, if you'd like a little background on that, the festival of breaking the fast happens after Ramadan. Just so all of our Christians and Jews may be listening know, Ramadan is a time when often in Muslim dominant countries, any Christians or Jews that are living in those countries are killed. Nigeria, Malaysia, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, I mean, Egypt. I mean, even though these countries may be allies of the United States, don't think for one moment. Pakistan, there's horrific persecution against Christians. And I wish that you would call President Trump about this too, because I'd like to see him make more of an effort to get Christians that are in the dungeons of Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and Nigeria, Christians that have been kidnapped and tortured, that they are released from captivity and set free. So Anyway, this is a Muslim holiday. What is it again? It's AB 2017, and they want to give all of our school children. What kind of a message does that send to school children? What kind of a message does it send to college students, to university students, to have two, not one, but two Muslim holidays, but we don't give Jewish people Hanukkah off? Hanukkah's right next to Christmas, the Festival of Lights. We don't give the Jewish people their Passover. Passover is right next to Easter. I mean, Easter is founded on Passover. The sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, died on a cross so that his blood would cover our sin. Whereas God used the sacrificial lamb, the unblemished lamb in biblical times, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, used the unblemished lamb, the sacrificial lamb, so that when that blood was shed, it would cover the sins of that family, right? And when the death angel came over, that blood was on their doorpost, and the death angel passed over. Passover. Passover, Easter. Why in the world will we give Muslims a holiday when the people that brought us God's word, that introduced monotheism into the earth realm, when Jesus, who was out, whose family, who was out of the tribe of Judah, whose, what, great, 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 great grandfather was King David of Israel. I mean, we're going to give Muslims a holiday, but we haven't given the Jewish people not Hanukkah, not Passover, not their New Year. I mean, come on.
Gotta turn it
It's
around.
so unfair and unjust that we would do that. It's upside down.
That's right.
What is the limiting principle? What is the logic of it? When Jews also think about this, another important point to make when you call Governor Newsom, Jews outnumber Muslims in the state of California, and they outnumber Muslims in the United States of America. And maybe you could throw in the fact that thank God for the Jewish people who helped fund the Revolutionary War. They helped bankroll it because they were revolutionary fighters too. They fought in the Revolutionary War also.
That's right.
So it's important to know our history, to remember our history, and to share our history. I
Amen.
think I've about run out today.
Yeah, your voice
Again,
made
I'm
it.
recovering from bronchitis, so I'm a
There
little
you
worn out
go.
today.
Well, like many people we talked to that called in and other people, different professions, they'd lump that up and say just what you said without all the good points that you were able to give them. We thank you so much for that.
Oh,
That
you're
when you
welcome.
lose your moral compass,
Yes.
situational ethics takes over and destroys common sense. And
It has, it does, and it has in America. And we've got to get it back, which is
Amen.
why I ask everybody to make the phone calls.
Yes.
You are electing people to represent your interests, but not just your little finite interests, the interests of America, which is to bring us back to our biblical values, our beliefs, to put, give God first place, one nation under God, in God
Right.
we trust. It's our official motto. Let's restore it to its proper place in America, in the United States of America.
Give it the old Benjamin Franklin, draw the line in the middle of the paper, yes and no, pro and con. And if you do what you said tonight, you won't have one side of the paper with anything on it. Because
There
although
you
we stand
go.
for in America, it's all there, just like he told us.
And call John Thune. When you call that number for the United States Congress and United States Senate, that number is 202-224-3121. When you call them, you could also make a third or fourth call and call John Thune and just say, I'm maybe you're not from his district. or his, excuse me, not district, state. He's a U.S. senator. You might not be from his state, but you wanted to encourage him. You wanted to encourage him. You know that he's brought it before the Senate for a vote, and you know that it failed. But you just want to keep encouraging him to get that back on the floor of the U.S. Senate and get it passed.
That's
Twist some
it.
arms if you have to.
That's it. I tell you what,
Okay.
keep those numbers what you're looking at, folks. And TJ, if you got just a moment, we want to remind you where you can hear Denise and hear all the shows here on Raising Expectations. Our website is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And if you go to that site, you'll be able to read about the program. There's also a place to make a donation. You want to help keep us on the air. We're in our 6 year, 6.5 years, I believe now. And follow down, you'll read about the team, who they are, what they've been doing. But right there, you can see, you can go back into our programs all the way back to, I believe, 2021 or 2020, it would be in June, I believe. So you'll be able to find the people we've had there. We have Denise. She's really blessed us. She has so many things she can share. We have many people she knows coming up to be with us in the coming months here. Coming up here in January, we're going to have Ben Stein, the Christian comedian, who is actually.
Never mind. You said January.
Oh, yeah, he's coming in June. That's right. June the 15th, he'll be with us. And we have Kurt Schlichter coming with us from Town Hall Magazine. Things like that. They'll be sharing from their hearts also, but we're looking to celebrate the 250th year of the United States of America. What that stands for, again, yesterday, I'm sure we missed where you were speaking. We were able to see them all, everybody, and well, it was a blessing. So exciting to see the God of Judeo-Christian ethics, God Jesus Christ lifted up all over them all, and to see pastors, all colors, red and yellow, black and white, rabbis, everybody together there, looking at the most important thing right now, to focus the United States of America on who put us together. And God brought it together, and there's a reason for that. So do go to our website and check on that, and be praying for Denise, what she has coming up, and you'll be speaking. Let's pray for her as we have to have opportunities to share what God has given her more, and let's get her into office too and get her sharing and doing a lot of things that she will be able to do to help us all. Tell you what, Dr. Hall, there, Paul, how
Yo.
about giving us a prayer for the show and to pray for Denise, and then we'll close it up. Denise, we'd
All
like to
right,
pray for you.
happy to do it. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your protection. We pray that you would bless Denise and her efforts to get
Yes.
the word out. And Lord, we know that your word doesn't come back void.
That's right.
And we thank you for that. So we rest in the assurance that we belong to you, that we've been given this marvelous gift of eternal life. And we pray that we open our hearts to be used as you would see fit for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for having me as a guest again. And I wish everybody a blessed and wonderful rest of your week.
Oh, great. You too. We'll be
Thank you.
praying
Thank you
for you.
so much.
All right,
Bye-bye.
ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight. Now, don't forget, look at those notes, look at those numbers, say a little prayer,
Make your
and dial them
calls.
up. What you're supposed to do is you make those calls. Okay,
Yes.
we'll see you next week, same time, same station on Raising Expectations. And remember, God loves you. Give back some of what he's given you so that others can find him through all those calls and things that we do. Pray for our leaders, pray for our nation, pray for our families, pray for our guests, pray for the things that God lays on your heart, that he might be glorified in our nation, may be exalted and held in the position that it has to be a beacon of the world. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Denise.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today.
So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.